Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? The Gospel of the Grave Clothes. Listen to some selected verses from John 19. So Peter and the other disciples started running for the tomb. Peter went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. The other disciple also went inside. He saw and believed. I invite you this morning to especially follow the sermon outline. It's provided for you in the handout you received when you came in, as we consider our theme, the Gospel of the Grave Clothes. And this morning, here's a question that you've probably never been asked. So let me be the first to ask you. What are you planning to wear for your own funeral? Have you chosen the clothing that you're going to wear either in your casket or before you are cremated? I ask you again, how will you be dressed? Oh, I've actually given this some thought for myself. I picked out of the closet my favorite double-breasted suit, the cream-colored shirt, my favorite tie. How do you think? I look okay in that suit. Then I thought, no, maybe I'll be laid to rest in the clothing you see me wear every Sunday morning. I've been to other pastors' funerals, and they are dressed like this. That would be okay. But the more I thought, I went home into my closet and decided, no, perhaps I'll be buried in my New York Yankee warm-up jacket. Those of you who know me know how important this is to me. And by the way, I have three of these to choose from at home, so I'm not sure which one I'll use. What are you planning to wear? Now, that sounds like a great conversation starter, doesn't it? At the checkout line, we go see Kevin on a regular basis at Safeway. Not too many people at the checkout line are saying, and what are you going to wear for your own funeral? Or how about at a party around the hors d'oeuvres table? Or at the dinner table with new friends? Quite the cheery topic, isn't it? What are you going to wear at your own funeral? It's a cheery topic somewhere between tax audits and discussing your recent 3-hour dental visit. No one likes grave clothes. I dare say you'll never find a store that specializes in burial garments, but if there is, I have a great advertising slogan for them. Clothes to die for. Folks just don't discuss grave clothes. But St. John was an exception. In the Bible verses I just read, we're told that Peter and the other disciple ran to Jesus' tomb. This other disciple is John, the writer of the gospel account. And he records that here's what he and Peter saw when they went into the tomb. Strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. And when they saw those grave clothes, the text says, they believed. The Apostle John came to see the burial clothing of Jesus as a symbol of his resurrection victory, a symbol of triumph. God took defeat and transformed it into triumph. Could he do the same for you? Can God change your tragedy into triumph? John would agree with St. Paul that God can do that same thing. Paul wrote in Romans 8:38, "In everything God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose." Does everything mean troubles? Tumors, tests, tempers, determinations? John says yes, if we only wait for God to see what he's up to. And to help us understand this, John points us to a Friday long ago, to a day when some grave clothes were delivered, a sign that all hope was gone. In John 8:19, we read this. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. He was accompanied by a man named Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, note, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. That's what John wrote. Joseph and Nicodemus ascended Calvary's hill to the cross carrying grave clothes. Joseph donated a tomb. Nicodemus donated the burial spices and the linens. As long as there was no tomb or grave clothes, there was hope. But with the arrival of this two-man funeral procession, all hope was gone. The arrival of the grave clothes declared that death had the last word for Jesus. Now, at first glance, it may have seemed that way. But through the rags of death, John saw the linens of life. Let me say that again. Through the rags of death, John saw the linens of life. He didn't know at that time that Friday's tragedy would be turned into Sunday's triumph. For he confesses later in the book, he writes this. At that time, they did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. That is why what John did on Saturday was so important. He hung around. We don't know a lot about that Saturday between Crucifixion Friday and Resurrection Easter Sunday. But all we know is this. When Saturday came, John was still present. He had not left. He hung around. Why? He doesn't seem to be expecting a Sunday surprise. Why didn't he just get out of town and save his hide from the same fate as Jesus? Maybe John lingered because he loved Jesus and wanted to stay close to him even in death. John had a habit of staying close to Jesus, right next to his side. Remember John on the Mount of Transfiguration, right by Jesus? Remember John in the upper room with the disciples when the Lord instituted Holy Communion, right by Jesus' side? How about in the Garden of Gethsemane? John was right there. At the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother, there was John right by Jesus. And now, even at Jesus' death, John hung around. Just a quick walk from Jesus' tomb. John may not have understood everything. John may have not had unshakable faith, but he did not leave Jesus. He hung around. Now it's time to apply this message. My friends, when it is Saturday in your life, somewhere between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph, what do you do? Do you leave God or do you linger near him? John chose to linger, to hang around. And because he lingered on Saturday, he was around on Sunday to see the miracle. And Sunday morning brought amazing news. Say it with me, will you again? The gospel of the grave clothes. At first, Mary Magdalene jumped to a wrong conclusion. Somebody stole Jesus' body, she said. But soon she learned the truth and told Peter and John and the other disciples. Did you catch it? Women were the first evangelists. Then John jumped up and ran with Peter to the tomb to see for themselves. And what John and Peter saw there amazed them. They saw, say it again, the gospel of the grave clothes. To understand what they saw, we need to understand something about Jewish burial customs. Do you recall what we read earlier from John chapter 19 about the linens and spices brought to the cross by Joseph and Nicodemus? The text said, quote, "This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs." Scholarly studies show us that such traditional burial practices went on basically unchanged for 2,000 years until up to about 100 years ago. The body was wrapped in linen bands. In the folds of the linens were placed dry spices, myrrh and aloes, strong fragrances and preservatives. In John 19:39, do you remember, we're told that Nicodemus brought 75 pounds of these spices to the cross. And after the body was wrapped in these linens and spices, the shoulders and the neck were left bare. There was space left between the wrapped body and the head. And then the upper part of the head was wrapped in a turban. You can see these days some Middle Eastern men wearing such turbans. So Jesus' body was wrapped in spice-filled linens, and his head was wrapped in a burial turban. Now, what would we have seen if we were at that tomb at the moment of his resurrection? He wouldn't set up and struggle out of the linens. That would have been just a mere resuscitation, like when someone wakes up after passing out. That would have not been a resurrection. We would have seen Jesus' bodies pass right through those clothing, just like later he passed right through a closed door to see his disciples in the upper room. Then what would we have seen? The linen clothes would have subsided once the body was gone. The linens would be lying there undisturbed because of the weight of the 75 pounds of spices in them. The same place, the linens would be there where the body was laid. And what about the turban? Well, without the weight of the spices, it would have retained its rolled shape. Sitting by itself, separate from the body linens by the space of the shoulders and the neck. And guess what? The scriptures say this is just what John saw when he entered the tomb. John 20, verse 5 says, John saw, quote, the strips of linen lying there. The original Greek phrase in the text for lying there means undisturbed, placed in order, unmoved, like documents carefully collated. These linens were undisturbed, like they were still wrapped around a body that had passed right through them. They weren't all messed up as if someone struggled to get out of them. And what did Peter see? Verse 7. Peter saw, quote, the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was rolled up by itself, separate from the linen. That's what John records. That is to say, the turban was still in its rolled up shape, undisturbed, separated from the body linens by the space of Jesus' uncovered shoulders and neck. Through the rags of death, John saw the linens of life and the trappings of triumph. The undisturbed grave clothes declared that Jesus did not just wake up and resuscitate, that somebody didn't just burst in and steal his body, but that he had risen as he said. He is risen. He passed through the rags of death. Listen carefully now as we get toward the end of this sermon. You see, God specializes in clothing the ordinary with the eternal. In God's hands, an unused animal feed trough became the first crib for the newborn baby Jesus at Bethlehem. In God's hands, some empty water jugs at a wedding party are used to show the first miracle of Jesus, making more wine out of water than anybody could drink. In God's hands, a cruel instrument of death used by Roman soldiers, a cross, used by God as a place of victory over sin, death, and devil. So should we be surprised that God takes the wrappings of death and turns them into the very picture of life? This is what he did for Peter and John. This is what he does for us. This is the gospel of the grave clothes. And here's my question for you today. Should you be surprised that God could do something similar for you? Like John, we only need to hang around close to Jesus in the Saturdays of our life, in those days in our life between Friday's tragedies and Sunday's triumphs. My friends, you may only be a Saturday away from a resurrection. Look at your sermon outline. We're rounding third now. We're heading toward home. In an intriguing movie starring Harrison Ford, a movie called Regarding Henry, we meet Henry Morris, a successful New York City lawyer. Whatever it takes to win a major court case, Henry Morris will sell his soul to win. He steps on anybody who gets in his way. Ethics mean nothing. Money and success and fame mean everything. And Henry especially likes the most expensive and fancy clothes. His clothes define who he is. But one day Henry's life is drastically changed when he is shot in the robbery of a convenience store. He is shot in the chest and in the head and needs months of recovery and rehabilitation and therapy. He has no memory of his work, no memory of his life, no memory of his wife. He struggles to walk again and somehow regain his memory. But somehow it's made sure that he is dressed in his most expensive clothes every day. But now he begins to find them uncomfortable. And when he reclaims his memory, he hates what he learns about himself. He detests that he was a scoundrel as a lawyer, that he was unfaithful to his wife. He comes home from work one day to tell his wife, "Honey, I have quit my job as a lawyer. I'll never do it again." He wants to start all over. He wants a brand new beginning. He wants and he craves forgiveness. But all he can think of saying to his wife is this: "Honey, I don't like my clothes." She knows exactly what he means. And with love in her eyes and in her voice, she declares, "Henry, we'll get you new clothes." And she reaches out to embrace him. Here is another picture, my friends, of the gospel of the grave clothes. Because Jesus' resurrection body has passed through the rags of death, He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated the devil. You are given today on Easter Sunday a brand new suit of clothes. Your old clothes of sin and death are buried forever. You have a brand new robe of righteousness. So I ask you one last time, the question I asked at the beginning of the sermon, what are you planning to wear at your own funeral? My friends, you can wear the righteousness of Christ. Your righteous robe is prepared. He's got one for you in just your size. In the name of Jesus. Amen.